Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
It is Daybreak here on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Kerry and Nikki, feel free to jump in at any time with some sports opinions.
Okay.
Oh, well, we're experts.
Yeah.
You might have to hold us back.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. There's a lot of buzz in Ireland right now, so okay. I'm doing good.
What's the buzz about? What's the crack?
Well, see, it's about the F1, because for the first time in 22 years, we had an Irish man on track in Austria.
Ooh, so Kerry, what do you think about that? Kerry's from Dublin, but she's been in Spain a long time.
Long time. But I'm very impressed by that. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, Alex Dunn was in the McLaren. He took over for Lando Norris, and he done really good. He got P4 in his first ever session.
Fabulous stuff. Yeah, so is that in Austria?
That was, yeah. It's in the Red Bull Ring, which, to be honest, it actually wasn't a good weekend for Red Bull at all. They Kimi Antonelli crashed into Max Verstappen on the first lap, and then their other car came 16th with a 10-second penalty, so it was a weekend for Ket for them.
How are Ferrari then? Because we're off to Ferrari land in a few weeks' time, and they've got these F1 simulators, which the kids are going to love. But Ferrari aren't where they used to be, are they?
No, I mean, listen, Ferrari aren't bad. They had a good result yesterday, P3, P4. The bad thing, though, is that they're kind of in no man's land. And that's not really what you kind of want to be, either underperforming or overperforming in F1, because then you have something to work towards. Ferrari at the moment are just sort of in the middle of nowhere. You know, they were easily, I think, 20 seconds off the McLaren, who was a masterclass from them yesterday at P1, P2. And the only threat they had was each other. You know, they ended up fighting each other on the last few laps. So Ferrari, you know, they're always thereabouts. It's just about getting over that extra, that extra bit of time.
Nikki, what do you think Ferrari need to do to get back to where they once were?
Think about what they used to do and do that again.
Yeah, okay.
That's not a bad idea.
See, they should come to me for some advice.
Yes. We can pass it on. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on Formula One then? Let me ask, what's the atmosphere like in Ireland then? Because it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been 22 years. So there's a lot of excitement because next year we could, he's been doing brilliant performances in F2. He has two feature wins. Now he's driven an F1 car. So the next question is he going to have a contract for next year?
Yeah.
And if he is, how many Irish people are going to be going to these events? And we're already seeing Irish flags on the television, in the grandstand. So there's generally a lot of excitement. The main question is there a spot open on any of the teams? And really, there isn't. McLaren have both of their drivers not only competing for world championships, but tied into multi-million-dollar, multi-year deals. And everywhere else is sort of kind of tied up. You know, you have the two Spanish drivers, Alonso, he's a contract the next season. Sainz is a contract with Williams. So really, the only possible spot I could think of is the new F1 team coming in Cadillac. And I'm not too sure if they'd like a rookie driver. Maybe, as a new team coming in, they might appreciate a more experienced driver who can give, more feedback on the car.
Yeah.
So that's the big question right now is yes, he's fast. Yes, he's popular. Yes, he's being talked about. But is there a space?
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that one. Let's go to football then and more club World Cup news. Is it getting exciting? Are you engaging with this more than I am right now?
There was something exciting. How long do you think the longest match has ever lasted in football? Just throw out a number.
I'm going to go with Hunt. Wait, she's sticking fingers up at me. Okay.
I would say 3 hours.
Not 3 hours?
Yeah. Because sometimes...
You've underestimated it. Chelsea's match with Benfica lasted 4 hours and 39 minutes in the Club World Cup because of a delay of extreme weather.
Oh, so they did have a break. They weren't playing all that time.
No. So it started at 9 o'clock, and this is really bad news for people who stayed up in Europe to watch. It started at 9 o'clock, and then in the 85th minute, the match was suspended. So this is at 10 to 11.
Yeah.
And it didn't restart until 10 to 1, and then Chelsea were leading, you know, going into the 85th minute. Then when the match restarted, Benfica equalised and it had to go into extra time. The match didn't end until after half one. So it started at 9 o'clock, didn't end until half one.
And what was the score?
It was actually, it ended up being 4-1 to Chelsea, but this still didn't really pleased the Chelsea coach because Maresca came out and said, I think it's a joke, to be honest. And when talking about the US, it's probably not the right place to do the competition. This is extremely worrying because the biggest competition on earth is happening there next year. The World Cup is going to be happening in the US. So if we're having all these issues with the matches, last week we had players having to stay in the dressing room because it was too hot. This week we had matches lasting 4 hours. You know, what does this actually hold for the World Cup happening next year?
Yeah, I think
this
should be in Canada or somewhere cooler. I don't know.
Well, I'll say, God bless that they get a break in between. Imagine running around for 4 hours up and down a pitch. I couldn't do that.
I don't think they could do that.
Wow.
Chelsea have been busy, but nonetheless, in that 4 hours, they were quite busy because they've just signed João Pedro from Brighton for $60 million. And he's able to actually fly to the US and join them because there's a mid-club, mid-tournament registration with the Club World Cup. This is a bit of a confusing, he's a brilliant player, but they already have Liam Delap, Nicholas Jackson and Christopher Nkunku, who also play number nine. So they have a lot of people in there. They might have to swap them out. But
Brentford's got a new manager as well.
They have. I was about to talk about that. Keith Andrews. It's been a bit controversial because he's never actually held a head coach role before. He's worked there for 18 months as the set-piece coach. But I'm not too worried about this because Thomas Frank, who's there for, I think, 7-8 years, brought him to the Premier League. He didn't work as a head coach. He actually worked under Dean Smith, their former manager. Mm. So this is sort of a thing Brentford do. They don't like to hire out. They like to, you know, invest in young managers, bring them up in the club, and then promote them. But Brentford have been busy on the other end because Manchester United have put in and been rejected another bid for Mbembo. Apparently Brentford are holding out for $65 million. And it was the same as Cunha. It's a bit different though because Cunha was in add-ons, where Mbembo is in guaranteed money.
And I've seen that Man United don't normally spend that much on players, you know. You think about, I think, compared to some of the bigger other clubs like City and Chelsea and others. But, you know, $65 million is quite a thing for United. So interesting to see if that one will go through.
It's quite a thing right now because Man United finished 15th in the league. And the big question is, how are they able to afford to spend, you know, not $65 million on one player, but $65 million on two players individually when they finish 15th? They have no European football. They missed out on £100 million by losing to Spurs in the Conference League final. So how are they able to afford these players?
Who knows, but there's a lot of shirts. They're still selling shirts, I suppose, aren't they? But
They are selling, you know, as in revenue and all that. But the big thing is how these deals are structured.
Yeah.
So Man United aren't directly paying $65 million to Brentford or Wolves this season. What they'll do is they'll put it into a structure of where they'll pay it in 3 or 4 installments. So actually what they're paying is $16 million up front. And then, you know, they have to do well the next few seasons.
Yeah, otherwise you're still paying for them and they're not doing very well, which could happen at Man United. Let's just face it, has happened before.
Yeah, so, I don't deny that at all. Yeah. We could be in the championship next year.
Right, we're going to go to the MMA. Let's do Barcelona first because they've been forced to defend their finances again.
Yes, John Laporta. It's not unusual for him to have to defend Barcelona's finances, but obviously they're in the mix for Nico Williams. $62 million from Atletico Bilbao. Definitely worth it. They've agreed on personal terms and they've also guaranteed his registration for next year, which you'd think would be something that you'd do anyway. But last year when they brought in Dani Olmo, they signed him, then they struggled to register him. And once they had him registered, they struggled to keep him registered due to the financial fair play rules that the Liga has. So a lot of people are saying, well, how are Barcelona able to do this? You know, their money's in the red. And John Laporta has come out and said, you know, listen, we're selling players. The finances are good. They've cleared their debts. They finished paying Messi last years ago, but they've only finished paying him this year. So John Laporta has come out and said, listen, everything's good for this move to happen. So we should be seeing a bit of action on it in the next few weeks.
Fabulous, Mark. Okay, let's just touch on MMA briefly and then Wimbledon.
Yeah, Ilya Topuria. Honestly, I've been amazed by this man. He is just an incredible, fascinating figure of MMA. He's knocked out Charles Oliveira, who's not been knocked out since 2017, but he knocked him out in the first round to become the first undefeated two-division champion in the UFC. I think he might be the first two-division champion from Spain as well.
Well, you don't think, I just think you don't know many Spanish fighters like that, so...
Yeah, but no, Topuria, he is a superstar. There's no question about it. 17-0 in MMA, 9-0 in the UFC. It isn't a complete surprise, though, because he's been on this legendary three-fight run. He's knocked out Volkanovski. He's knocked out Holloway. But this is definitely the most high-profile win, and I'll tell you why. I was actually fascinated by this. The night before the fight, you know, you'd think that he's training or maybe resting or cutting weight or something. He's actually out in a restaurant dancing on a table, and the caption on his Instagram is "celebrating my victory." So 24 hours before his fight, he's dancing in a restaurant. And
cocky as well, isn't it? I'm celebrating my victory before we've done it, yeah.
Very. So I was thinking to myself when he was walking to the octagon, I was like, this guy has better eat some humble pie. But on his way to the octagon, he was smiling. Someone asked him, you know, why is he smiling? And he was on record saying that he was just on his way to collect his belt. So when he was stepping into the ring, he didn't see this as a fight. He's like, I'm just here to collect my belt and I'm going to go home. And then what did he do? He knocked out Oliveira in the first round. So he has the walk.
That's great when it works like that. Yeah. When it doesn't work like that.
Would have been a bit awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Right. Imagine. But,
he backed up his words. And honestly, I can't wait to see what he does next. He's just a superstar.
Fabulous. Okay. And Wimbledon starting today, of course. Emma Raducanu playing. And what other highlights have you got for us?
So, yeah, I have four kind of highlights I think I've kind of brought up because I just think these are must-see matches, I'd say. You obviously have Jannik Sinner versus Luca Nardi, so that's going to be, you know, sort of interesting. It's world number one versus, you know, Nardi, who's not too experienced. He's quite young. He's number 94 in the world. He's yet to win a match, but here's the big thing. He has struggled on grass and in the past, so I expect Sinner to walk away with a straight sets victory. Britain's greatest hope, Draper, the 23-year-old, is going against Sebastian Baez, and he's formerly backed by a team that worked with Andy Murray, so there's, you know, a little bit of hope there, a little bit of hype, but he does have less Grand Slam experience, but I think he'll walk away with another straight sets victory. It shouldn't be too difficult for him. This is the one I'm looking forward to. Alex Muller versus Novak Djokovic. Now, this is Djokovic's best opportunity to equal Federer's, you know, 8 titles. So I think he's come in very confident. He's number 6. He has a very good starting test with Muller, who's number 40. But here's, once again, the thing with Muller. He doesn't have a lot of grass court success. You know, Wimbledon is grass. And Djokovic has no history of beating him either. So I would say this is almost, you know, a good test for Djokovic, but certainly an almost certain win. And the last one, of course, is Spain's Carlos Alcaraz versus Fabio Fognini. And this is, you know, I would say that Carlos, I'd be very surprised if he struggles in this because he's on an 18-match win streak.
Yeah.
You know, he's off titles from Queens and the French Open. And here's the most important thing. He thrives on grass.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he's been on a grass court, he has dominated. He's, you know, Fabio's, I think, 38. So he's, you know, on the wrong side of 30.
Alcaraz seems like he's improving all the time, Mark, as well. He just seems like he's getting better.
He's a clear favorite.
Yeah. Okay. It's fantastic. There's lots to. I'm looking forward to Wimbledon, really. I'm lots to go at. Mark, as always, have you got the podcast up and running yet, mate?
We have next week. Next week we will.
Fabulous. Tell us more about it next week, then we'll get you back on. Fabulous, Mark. Have a lovely day, and we'll mention that podcast for you, and enjoy the tennis.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers, Mark. That's Mark already there from the Emerald Isle this morning. The latest sports news on TRE.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.